Welcome back, everybody. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Shout at the Devil was Motley Crue's breakthrough success, selling 200,000 copies in its first 2 weeks. That's like, what, 20,000 copies a week? Never mind.
We're not doing the math.
The album's title and the band's use of a pentagram caused a great deal of controversy upon its 1983 release, as Christian and conservative groups claimed that the band was encouraging their listeners to worship Satan. Okay, on this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to take a look back at this breakout album, amazing album, and we'll explore the music and the so-called controversy as we shout at the Devil.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, and we're not going to make that loud. And we have a great show for you guys today. We're going to be talking about this the breakout album, Shout at the Devil, here in a minute. First, take care of a little housekeeping. First of all, shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Please go to rockrageradio.com, download the app, and you can listen to great guitar-driven rock and great shows like this one all the time. John and Gigi do a great job with that radio station. They're truly committed to great music. So check those guys out at rockridgeradio.com. If you like what we do, please go to lulombardirocks.com. There's more stuff there, more content, free downloads, all kind of goodies. So check that out at lulombardirocks.com. We usually hang out afterwards, after the podcast there as well. And, you know, get into some of the topics and, you know, whatnot that we can't really...
Things.
Yeah, that, you know... It goes from PG to more like R.
XXX.
Yeah, NC-17 maybe. Yeah. Does it really go to XXX? Doesn't go to
PG. Depending on how much I've drank and what I want to talk about.
Okay, well, there you are. So now all the more reason to go to LulaBartyRocks.com. And, of course, we have to thank... we got to talk about Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at wolfscustoms.online. See, there's no reason anymore to turn on your Zoom camera or your cell phone camera and do your online performance with a boring looking guitar. People are scrolling past social media all the time, and you know, if they see something that looks cool, they're gonna say, "Oh, what's this?" Okay, so this is why you need to contact Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at wolfscustoms.online and get a custom finish done on your guitar, your bass, your ukulele, your swinette, your accordion, whatever it is that you like to play. Go ahead and get a hold of these guys. They do a great job. A wide variety of different customizations they can do. So check that out at wolfscustoms.online. We've got Lily V6 in the house. What's new, Lily?
What's new is I survived the weekend with my sister's bachelorette party. Barely. I barely survived. We're not going to divulge all the details. If you saw it on Facebook, it was on there a lot. So, party time. Limo. There was a limo in a house.
Wow. A limo and a house.
Let's just put it this way. The limo was like a dance club. That's how big it was.
The dance club limos. All right, guys. We're going to get into the topic here in a few minutes. I have some bands we've never played before, courtesy of Lily V6. Lily is a rock connoisseur, as well as she has her own show on Rock Rage Radio on Thursday nights. So she knows a lot of bands. And so I had been, look, nothing against Flying Joes and Reign of Z and all the amazing bands we've been playing for months and months and months. But sometimes you just like, I just want to mix it up. I feel I'm trying to commit. Part of the reason for doing the show is to bring you guys like new music, that's bands you probably haven't heard before, stuff that you're not hearing, not even on Sirius XM or anything like that. You know, we're trying to be kind of tastemakers here and say, hey, you might want to check this out. So we've got Sister Salvation, Unbroken Soul, and Blood Union tonight. Nice. We're going to start with Sister Salvation, Breathe, on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Sister Salvation, guys. The track is called Breathe. And let's go ahead and give you the info there where you can find these guys on the internet. SisterSalvationBand.com. Go check them out. And the songs we're playing tonight, with the exception of one we're going to play at the end, are all available on Spotify. So you can always find these guys on Spotify. I highly encourage you to don't believe what Taylor Swift says about Spotify and all these other people. Spotify is awesome. It's a great way to discover music. Start getting on there. Start setting up playlists. You know, you hear a band like Sister Salvation, like it, and over time Spotify will start to feed you more and more great music. So check it out when you get a chance. I have no affiliation with Spotify. It's just a platform that I've really grown to love in the past couple of years. Motley Crue, this band, these crazy maniacs.
My boys.
So before we get into the whole thing here about Shout at the Devil, let's get a little bit of a sort of a Reader's Digest version of band bio. You are not to recite the entire Dirt movie.
Damn it.
We don't have time for that.
Anyway, if you didn't see The Dirt, go see it. It's on Netflix. All right, Shout at the Devil. Second album from the American heavy metal band Motley Crue, released in September of 1983. This is actually the one that I believe people consider the breakthrough album for the band. It made them one of heavy metal's top-selling acts of
the 80s. Which album is it for them?
Second.
It is their second album.
Yes. Okay. Like you said earlier, over 200,000 copies in the first 2 weeks. So the name of the album was originally entitled Shout with the Devil. I don't know if you knew that. That was in the book I read. But the story goes, Nicky saw some weird paranormal stuff going on in his house during the recording of the album, and he decided to change the name to Shout at the Devil just to kind of cast it away a little bit. You did mention about the controversy with the release from Christians and conservatives stating the band was encouraging the worship of Satan. Not really true. They just liked it because it was cool. The pentagram actually came from Nicky's former band with Blackie Lawless called Sister. They were actually the first LA band to fuse the occult with like the theater rock stuff. And Blackie just said, you just use whatever you want. So Nicky took the pentagram. And that's everything that Nicky did at that time, he was a new band, he thought it was just cool. It wasn't because he was worshiping Satan or any of that weird stuff. They did re-release the album with a new cover showing the four members of the band, though. I do have the original at home framed. Never taking it out of the case again.
I'm sure it's been reissued, though, with the original cover, if you want.
I'm sure.
Somebody
can get it somewhere.
I'm going to tell you guys a little something I saw on YouTube last night about that, but go ahead.
Yeah. The album came out with mixed reviews. Some people said it was unoriginal. Some people said it was just cheap thrills to jaded teenagers. Rolling Stone, of course, hated it, but now it's on their top heavy metal albums of all time because that's how Rolling Stone works. AllMusic gave a positive review stating it was their best album and it displays Crue's sleazy, notorious, and entertaining metal at its best. Did peak at number 17 on the Billboard, and it's got a quadruple platinum as of May of 1997, with zero, at the time of its release, zero marketing and publicity from the record label. They didn't, like, help at all. In fact, they even got kicked off as the opening act for Kiss's.
I want to talk about that.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Okay. But first, I want to go back to something you said about Shout with the Devil.
Okay.
Tom, I think his name is Zutat. Yeah, who signed the band to Elektra Records, told the author of Crue's biography that Nikki Sixx was exploring Satanism at the time and wanted to call the album Shout with the Devil. Zutat claims he saw a knife and fork rise off the table and stick to the ceiling. He writes, I looked at Nikki Sixx and I freaked out. There's no more Shout with the Devil. If you keep shouting with the devil, you're going to get killed. I truly believe that Nikki had unknowingly tapped into something evil, something more dangerous than he could control. It was on the verge of seriously hurting him. Nikki must have realized the same thing because he decided on his own to change the album title to Shout at the Devil. I don't know if that's a true story, if that's something that Tom Zutat, you know, dreamed up, they put in the book to make it more juicy.
Well,
but I wanted to share that because I found that on iHeart.com thing, and I thought, oh, this is kind of fun.
Actually, he was dating Lita Ford at the time, and she says she also saw that sort of stuff happen in his house.
Who was, Tom or Nikki Sixx?
Nikki.
Nikki was dating Lita Ford?
Yeah.
She really made the rounds.
Yeah, legit.
I mean, I hate to, I wouldn't call her a slut, but she's kind of a...
She's a female rock star. Of course she's going to take with all the hot guys right up front. I'd do it.
I'm sorry. I'm just having fun with it. Don't take me seriously. Don't take me seriously. I'm just having a good time with the whole topic. I mean, when you're talking about a band like Motley Crue, you can't take like that stuff too seriously, because those guys were all about partying,
girls, chicks, you know, drugs, sex, rock and roll. Yeah.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what they were. They epitomized that.
Getting BJ's under a table at a bar.
What I'm really hoping is that young kids who are just like kind of starting to get into music, I hope that they watch The Dirt on Netflix, and maybe we'll see a rebirth of rock in a few years. They'll realize how much fun rock really is. So, what do we want to get into? Do we want to go track by track? How do we want to handle this?
We always do the track by track. Did you want to talk about the Kiss tour at all?
Yeah, let's get into the Kiss thing, too. That's the next thing I want to talk about, because Gene Simmons kicked them off. Now, I know that they were touring a bit, and I believe they played the US Festival before the album was actually released.
Possibly.
But they were playing the songs live before. Yeah. And so they were kind of getting their bass warmed up for this album that was coming out. Although, I think, of course, this is the album that really kind of broke them. So, but, you know, Gene said he wanted them off the tour because of, quote-unquote, bad behavior. Now, you watch a movie like The Dirt, and you go, you know, okay, wait a minute, though. But here's what I think. When I listen, because I re-listened to the album again today for the first time in a long time, mm-hmm. and I hear on a lot of it, Kiss Part 2. I hear those early Kiss records kind of like better production, more energy, you know, but I hear the same kind of vibe.
So do you,
I mean, any one of those songs in there could almost kind of be a Kiss song in a way, you know, just like if Kiss had came out in the early 80s instead of in the early 70s.
Right.
It obviously is better produced, more aggressive, and they actually have a way better drummer.
Do you think maybe Gene was a little...
Right. And they wore the makeup and everything. So I do feel that he was concerned.
Threatened.
Kiss was 12, 13 years old at this point. And I think they were like, they saw it as competition. And I would imagine at that time, in that era, that era of Kiss, I mean, that was the era of Kiss with, was that the era with Vinnie Vincent and those guys?
I believe
guys?
So. It's the Creatures tour.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
So this wasn't even the classic lineup of Kiss with the makeup. Kiss had taken the makeup off and everything. And Motley Crue's out there kind of doing that. And I could totally see Gene, especially after reading his book, going, No.
We're not playing this game.
Homie, don't play that. You guys get the hell out of here. We're not going to be upstage. You doing
by
our
bunch
shtick.
Of kids.
Yeah, your kids doing our shtick that we did, and we don't do any. So I that was my interpretation of that. That it wasn't so much about bad behavior as much as
threatened.
Yeah, they
a
felt
little bit.
They were probably upstaging them. And like I said, way better
well,
guitar player too.
Well,
yeah, way better. No, it's not even a competition. I would put, I mean, it's just as a solid in your face rock and roll drummer. I mean, and I think even the Hawk would agree with me. We've had this discussion, you know, that Tommy has that kind of feel. He's got the right feel and groove for that kind of music. I mean, you wouldn't put Tommy Lee in Dream Theater.
Oh,
or you
no,
wouldn't
no,
put
no.
him you wouldn't put him in Iron Maiden or something like that. But for this type of thing, he freaking nails
in
that
your face,
stuff.
Rock yeah, and I mean, roll, just like, party time.
I mean, one of the things I really love about this album, Shout at the Devil, is Tommy's drumming. I think it really just drives the record. So let's talk about In the beginning, is
in
that
the first? That's the first.
That's
song.
The first song. So let's talk about this, because I went back and there's a couple of odd tracks on here.
Yeah,
this one and God's
the God one. Yeah,
about God's
children.
God's children. Yes. The children.
God
of the
bless
beast,
the children.
God bless the children of the beast. And that I had forgotten about. So
so in the beginning, the first song on the album, great opener, spoken word with ominous music and. Sort of sounds like the beginning of a movie with someone talking about the legend that we're about to see on the screen sort of thing. They've used this approach later on as well on Saints of Los Angeles. Worked a little better here. Sort of explains how evil has overcome good, and it's now time to be strong and shout out the devil. The song is credited to Alistair Fiend, who is a character that Nikki Sixx created. Looks just like Nikki. If you've seen it's the cartoon Nikki on all the charts. So,
but was this not performed by the producer?
Yes.
or
the spoken engineer? Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is definitely not Nikki.
I what this reminded me of is the "Oh woe to you, earth and sea."
Yeah.
For the beast rises with whatever that Iron Maiden thing
yes.
is. That reminded me of the exact same thing. And when you hear the beginning of the album start with this, it really dates the record. I'm sorry, but it does.
Well,
it dates the record, but in a really fun way, and it takes you back to, because there was a very metal thing to do, was to do this kind of like sort of pretentious, ooh, we're
gearing
evil,
you up for the...
and we're going to scare you, and oh, you know what I mean? Also, there is a disclaimer on the back of the album. Do you have anything about that?
I do not have
a disclaimer.
Okay,
we'll look that up during one of the breaks. But this was before the PMRC, which we talked about, was it last week?
Yes, one of the songs is on here.
And this was one of the albums that kind of like, got all their skirts in an uproar. And you're going to see why as we continue through the record. But so it has this like kind of, you know, pretentious metal cliche kind of intro thing that, in like I said, going back listening to it 30 years later, whatever it is, you realize it's just fun, just a lot of fun, and it kind of sets you up. It's like going to see one of those Peter Cushing movies, you know, with Christopher Lee,
It's
like kind of like those ones like Hammer Horror kind of thing. It kind of sets you up for that. Although I don't think that's what they're doing musically.
No,
I think when they get into the music, it's more Kiss than Iron Maiden,
right,
or whatever. But
yeah,
but that's
sure.
Okay. So now I want to talk about these next two songs. But you go ahead. I'm going to let Lily kind of introduce them, and we're going to get into them.
Shout at the Devil is the next song on the album. It's the title song. The song is not praising the devil, as some think. Everyone in the band has struggled with some sort of addiction or some sort of an issue. In the song, it's naming parts of everyday life where the band sees the devil's presence. He is a tempter. And like the worst part in people's lives, like the bad part, obviously. And the chorus of the song is actually meant to say, shake it off and move along. There are lines in this song that reference the band Aerosmith, like the one line, my head's spinning round and round, but in the seasons of wither, we'll stand and deliver. Round and round is an Aerosmith song. Seasons of wither is an Aerosmith song.
No, round and round is a rat song.
It was actually an Aerosmith song first.
I'm kidding. I'm just being a jerk.
But they paid a little homage to Aerosmith because they did like them at the time that they came out with an album.
I can hear an Aerosmith kind of groove in that song. I love the song. I think it's heavy as all get out. And
people have also mistaken it for being political.
It could be. And I think that the devil, shout at the devil, could be like anything. I think that could be, I think it's a great sort of like metaphoric thing as well. It could be about, it could be like drugs. It could just be about society feeling, you know, held back, or I mean, this was the Reagan era, you know, people, you know, there was a lot of sort of conservative kind of like vibe in the air as well. And so, that's what musicians are always doing. You know, pushing back and forth against the culture.
Yeah.
The culture goes one way, you know, a lot of musicians, artists, they go in the other way. The culture swings this way, you know, it goes back and forth.
Have you ever been to a cruise show where they played this live? Obviously, they play it at every show. But when they, if you're not sitting like way up close and you're in the audience, they do have a screen going up. Currently, well, in the last 10 years, they've had George Bush dressed as like in devil outfit. So maybe.
You can apply it to whatever your sweet little imagination wants to apply it to, is what I'm trying to say with that. Next song
is one of my most favorite songs ever in the whole world. It's Looks That Kill. Used to want it to be like my theme song, but I changed that. It gave their band their first national music video exposure on MTV. It introduced fans to the soon-to-be-recognizable voice of Vince Neil. Supposed to be, a lot of people think, and he's sort of mentioned, that it's supposed to be about his mother. He didn't have a very good relationship with his mother at all, and he sort of used this as an outlet to sort of say how horrible she was. And it's directed towards her. The video for the song is one of the cheesiest videos ever created, but I do love it. It's very primal. These women are dressed like cave women, and they're being locked up by the band, who are carrying all these torches, decked out in their glam. And the head Xena chick comes to save them, much to their, like, dismay.
Head Xena chick.
But it was a huge success, and it redefined MTV. Prior to this video, they were mainly focused on the synth pop bands that were coming out at the time, like out of London and everything. So, big deal song.
Okay, here's the way I heard a YouTuber say this yesterday, and I completely agreed, and I've thought this for years, and Lily and I can discuss this.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling I know which side you're going to come down on.
Okay.
I think that there are two kinds of Motley Crue fans.
Okay.
I think there are the Shout at the Devil Motley Crue fans, and I think there are the Looks That Kill Motley
okay.
Crue fans. I am a Shout at the Devil.
So you're more of the... sort of sinister.
I like okay. that, and I like the groove of that and everything. Don't get me wrong. I like this album is so amazing. Like, the next song is Looks to Kill, which is an
it's
amazing
super glam.
Song. Yeah, it's super glam, but it is a great song.
I, yeah, mean, I love the song.
So, and I would imagine you're Looks to Kill.
Of course I am.
Okay.
Of course All right. I am.
Okay, what I'm going to do real quick here, if I can make it work out here, is I want to Looks... That Kill, because I have to know this. I've been listening to this song for since 1983.
Oh, you looking up something you might not know?
And I remember we played this in a band, and nobody had access to the lyrics. So we sat in the music school at Cogswell Hall at IUB, playing it on a cassette version over and over, trying to figure out what the lyrics are. We sat there with okay. our singer, and we had no idea.
Okay.
So the where we had the problem was this. Now she's bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps her motor clean. Oh, and believe me, you, she's a number 13. What we thought he was saying was she isn't over 14.
Oh, okay.
And we were laughing, you know what I mean? Thinking like, ha, oh, this is a really dirty
so
song.
Dirty.
It's kind of still kind of dirty. Clock strikes midnight. She's looking louder and louder. She's going to turn on her juice boy. Then she'll turn on the power.
Yeah.
I had no, but we had no clue. And you would, someday I'll have to tell you what we thought the words to You Shook Me All Night Long were.
I had a lot of wrong lyrics on that when I first listened to that.
So sure. I really had to, I just wanted to take a minute and pull that song up because...
you just needed to clarify.
I listened to it again today, and I'm like, what are they saying? And every time I think about it, I think about me and Sammy Gabud and Greg Rapp listening to it and trying to write the lyrics down. And she isn't over 14. We're like, ah! Like laughing, like, you know, oh, it's so dirty, you know. And, yeah, it's kind of rapey. I know. I get it. We were pervs.
You were children.
It was the 80s. So we're going to come back and talk about some more of this really fun album. I listened to it again today, and I...
Party time.
Yeah, it's really good. It sounds good. It's a really great raw in your face rock and roll record. This is another band that Lily introduced me to today. This is a band called Unbroken Soul. Maelstrom on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. That is Unbroken Soul, Maelstrom on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And I'm going to tell you how you guys can get your own, get yourself a little bit of Unbroken Soul. You want to go to, this is one of those URLs and stuff, discogs.com/artist-unbroken-soul. Check them out. Just do a Google search.
You can Google them.
Yeah. You know what I always do when I'm trying to find somebody's website, like a band's? I'll put in like Unbroken Soul Band, and usually you can find it. So anyways, we are talking about this band you may have heard of from the 80s, Motley Crue. I mean, I don't know. I know they're really obscure. Most of you guys have never heard of them. So that's what we're getting into. Shout out to Wolf's Customs, though. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Get yourself a custom paint job on that guitar. I mean, you know, if you want to get up there and solo out like Mick Mars, you know, you got to have something going on. So check them out. Talk to Chris Linderwolf Dodson. He will hook you right the F up. So we are going through the tracks here. Roy's down by the tracks. What's that? So we talked about in the beginning, Shout at the Devil and Looks That Cute. And we cleared up some lyrical discrepancies. Okay. So what do you got next, Lily?
Next is the notorious song Bastard, written as an ode to their manager at the time who stabbed them in the back and, of course, made the Filthy 15 like we talked about last week. It's due to its violent lyrics about taking their aggression out on an enemy and explaining in graphic detail how to kill the person by stabbing them repeatedly. So that one is the one that made the Filthy 15. There isn't much else to talk about on the song.
Well, what people don't understand. In 1983, let's see, I was 16. I'm just 16.
Well, I was actually
going on 17.
I was almost two.
Yeah, because I graduated in 85. So I was probably 15, 16. When a band put out an album and the chorus was Bastard, you could like that. I mean, that was the greatest. You know? I mean, it was cool. You know, you could yell out a dirty word. At the time, Bastard was considered a dirty word. They didn't say it on TV.
That's what got them the sticker, though, that song. Got that pretty low.
We did not look that up, so we're going to look that up. There is Motley Crue put their own warning on the back of the record as a way to really warn people, but to kind of like entice
drag
you to
people.
Like, you know, like, this is really naughty. I don't know if you want to watch it. There's a warning or we'll have to look up the back album cover and read it to people. So what's After Bastard?
After Bastard is that song we were discussing, God Bless the Children of the Beast. This is all instrumental. It has no lyrics to it. The music was actually written by Mick Mars, one of the few songs that Nikki Sixx didn't write. Beautiful piece, I think, but it's stuck in between two violent songs when you hear the next song. That's about it on that. But it is beautiful. I do love it.
But it's called Children. God Bless the Children of the Beast.
Yes.
Why would God bless the children of the beast? That doesn't make any sense. I always thought that was like oxymoron.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Because God loves everybody. That's why.
Okay, now listen. What is what's the next song?
The next song is Helter Skelter. Obviously a cover of the Beatles song created in 1968. The song allegedly inspired mass murderer Charles Manson. Nikki was actually not a huge Beatles fan, but he does list Helter Skelter and the White Album among his favorites of all time. I don't think it really needed to be included in the album, but it was. They did a nice hard version of it. I'm sure it was included because of the meaning behind it, and it sort of fits with the theme of the album. So their version of it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a cool version of it. It got a lot of crap, and because, you know, all right, the Beatles now, okay, are really, really old music, okay? But at the time, in 1983, the Beatles came out in the 60s. It was around only like 20 years, you know, something like that, a little bit less.
15-ish.
And people were still enamored with the Beatles. Mm-hmm. So, and the Helter Skelter is kind of like, some people kind of consider it like the first hard rock song, or the first, or maybe even the first heavy metal song.
Right. I could see it falling in a way.
I mean, even the Beatles version is pretty driving rock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like screamy type vocals and things like that. So I think that they are kind of making a link back to that. Also, again, with the theme of the album, and also, you know, what had happened with the Manson murders. So I think that they were kind of
keeping it on the sinister.
So I think that because of their image, their the sort of vibe of the album and the fact that they did this. I think some people felt that they may have been, what's the word that I want? Like, not capitalizing, but maybe exploiting the whole Sharon Tate, the LaBianca
right.
situation. And I think that it left kind of a bad taste in some people's mouths. Here's what I love about that era, though. If you don't like it, screw you. Don't buy my record.
Exactly.
We need that now. You don't like it? Don't listen to my podcast. Turn off my YouTube channel. Go. You don't like it? Go look at something else. Go listen to somebody else. You don't have to like what I have to say. I have a right to say it. Artists have to have the freedom, whether you like what they say or not. That's what being an artist is all about, is self-expression. And that's just what these guys were doing, you know? Maybe you think it's cheesy. Maybe you think it's dumb. Maybe you think they look weird. Whatever. But that's their right to do it, and a lot of people liked it. And I also think that, you know, it got them. That song got on the radio, but people it was kind of a curiosity. Again, there's some people thought it was in bad taste, but I remember, you know, kind of arguing with friends, not arguing, but discussing it with friends when it came out. And my one friend just kind of felt like it was cheesy, but I liked it, and I thought it made sense. Right?
It like, fits.
They're heavy. Yeah, it fits. It, you know, if the foo shits, right? You know? I don't know what else to say about it. It's the Beatles, and it's heavy, and it Motley Crue did it. And you know who else did this song a few years after this?
Who?
A little band from Ireland named U2.
Oh, I didn't even
they
know.
Have a version of it as well. And they got crap for doing it, too.
Of course. Well, everybody's going to get crap for doing it, I'm sure.
You can't come with the Beatles. You'll never be as good. You suck. what do we have after we get to the top and you jump to the top of the slide? And I don't remember the words when I go for a ride.
All right. What do you got? Next song is Red Hot, starting off the second side of the album, or song number 7 on the CD. Fast-paced, rebellious youth song, Red Hot is just, I just love the chorus, Red Hot. Every time I hear it, I have to, like, do the fist thing. The lyrics are talking about how the band understands what it's like to be young. They're basically sort of standing up for the youth in the song because they were young when they started and rebellious, and they just were sticking it to the man, basically. So, just sort of an anthem kind of thing.
Sticking it to the man. That's what rock is all about. This is how we stick it to the man. Isn't that what Jack Black told us?
Stick it to the man. Itis.
Exactly. Red Hot. Yeah, it was not the song. When I saw the title of the song, I thought it was a different song. So, never mind. I don't want to get into that. What's after Red Hot?
After Red Hot is Too Young to Fall in Love. This is sort of the bitter breakup song on the album. They're comparing love with the girl they're speaking of to a guillotine. I kind of feel like that's bad.
Your love's a guillotine.
They don't want to waste their youth falling in love. This is one of Nikki's favorite songs due to McMahon's guitar solo in the song. It was one of their hits on the album, but somehow it was left off of their compilation albums like Decade of Decadence, and it did end up eventually on Greatest Hits, but not the first time around. It was also included in Grand Theft Auto Vice City on the fictional station V-Rock.
Don't you hate when you buy a compilation, or you, not a compilation, but you buy a greatest hits, and the one song you really
want
love,
is not on there. Aerosmith has done that so many times.
Well, you know, Peter Gabriel, on his greatest hits, he doesn't have In Your Eyes.
Oh.
Why? Are you kidding me?
Everybody loves that song. Well, most people love that song.
Well, I always thought it was like kind of a conspiracy to like get you to go out and buy another record just so you can have that song.
Could be a thing.
It was really annoying in the era of cassettes, because to hear the songs you wanted to hear, you had to fast forward and rewind.
Oh, I hated
and then you
that.
Would ruin the cassette. Doing it too many times ruined the cassette.
I hated when they never came out with the singles, and then you had to buy the whole cassette and say you only like 2 songs on the entire cassette. Like, I just spent this much
you
on
bought
this.
Cassette singles? Oh, come on.
I
you
did that.
Oh, you were a little girl.
I was
that's
a little
why,
kid.
That's right.
I was like 10. I bought what I could afford, damn it.
I remember when those things came out, I was working at National Record Mart, and I was like, this is garbage. It was a total way, it was like a way to like get people it was just obviously a way to get people.
I had a newspaper delivery job, okay? That's how I bought things I could afford.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. You learned the value of a dollar.
I sure did.
See? and she listened to Motley Crue. She turned out all right.
I'm a pretty good chick.
Yeah, it's a Your Love's the Guillotine. This is one of those songs that gets some people up in an uproar. You know, it's the myth of the evil woman or whatever. And like women can't be evil like men can be. Like, we all have the light and the dark. We're all the yin and the yang, right?
I'm always nice to everybody.
What's the meme you post once in a while? And then you say, when I'm feeling nice, I bake cookies and shit. What does that mean?
Oh.
You're not the only woman that posts that.
Oh, no, I love that. That's my favorite one.
Several girls that post that.
It's right here. Let me just pull it up.
You know,
I'm a lady, but when I'm mad, I'm an evil, sadistic, demon spawn bitch from hell that'll make you wish you were never born. When I'm happy, I bake muffins and shit. That's just the truth.
That is everybody, though. That's men and women. We all have a light and dark side. But when a woman, I think that's what the song is talking about, especially, again, I keep drawing the parallel to Kiss because it's aimed at the same market. It's aimed at those teenage boys that don't know what to do with their feelings. They're lusting after these girls. They don't know how to handle it. And they have all kind of like crazy ideas like, you know, she must be out to get me because I can't stop, you know, having fantasies about her or whatever. And Lily's laughing and smiling because what does your shirt say? This is radio, remember?
It's Motley Crue. It's the Too Fast for Love shirt. Yeah.
Which we're going to get into in a minute. But You're Too Young to Fall in Love has that, I think it has that sentiment that a lot of boys could totally relate to in that 14 to 16 kind of where you don't know how to handle your emotions. You
14
don't know
to
why.
25.
And 14 to 55. where, you know, the girl. And what it is a lot of times too, the girls you're looking at and you want and stuff, it's not that they're being evil. They're just as awkward as you are.
Pretty much.
They don't know what they're doing either. And so we make up these dramas in our head. But it's a lot of fun, and I think that the song reflects that. And I don't think you should take the line "Your Love's a Guillotine" like literally.
Sure.
So what's after Too Young to Fall in Love?
After Too Young to Fall in Love is Knock 'Em Dead, Kid. The song was famously inspired by the violent evening between Nikki Sixx and a group of Hell's Angels, or so we thought. He wound up in a fight with the biker group, hit them in the face with a chain he was wearing as a belt, which he often wore on all of his occasions. The Hell's Angels were actually undercover cops. And Nikki was badly beaten after that and jailed. But after being released, he wrote the song. Inspired by an event. Because he likes to start trouble. Read the dirt. Seriously, there's way more stories than they showed in the movie.
The dirt could have been a Netflix.
It could have been a miniseries for sure. To hit every single thing they talked about in the book.
Netflix, are you listening?
Do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I think what they should do is each season put out a miniseries based on a different band.
I think that'd be wonderful if they did that.
Because they all, honestly. I mean, like if you start in the 70s and you go through the 80s, I mean, there's material to last
forever.
For years.
For now.
Yeah. So what's after Knock 'Em Dead?
10 Seconds to Love. This is the beautiful
love
song.
I know what they're talking about. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
It's the beautiful love song that's about making history in the elevator, or a.k.a. doing the dirty before the doors open, seeing how quickly they can get it done. There's a rumor that if you listen, you can hear some sexual noises from the band having sex with the groupies during the recording. I can't hear it, but some people
and
say
Lily
they can.
And Lily has really listened.
I really have listened, because I like to listen for those noises. Apparently it's squishing noises.
Squishing? You
know,
oh, great.
You know what I mean.
Squishing noise.
10 Seconds of Love. Yeah, let's just do it as quick as we can and go. Most love songs like that are about how long they can last. This is about how quick they can go.
Yeah. Look, 10 seconds. Well, again, when you're 14, how long do you think you're going to last?
Probably 10 seconds.
Right.
Maybe 12. I don't know. I didn't do it when I was 14, so I don't know.
I remember, again, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background. So those of you that maybe are new to me, don't know me, I grew up in a evangelical family, evangelical Christian family, and I went to Christian high school. And this record was beyond no. I mean, just like, and they, we would have different, there were different preachers that went around at this time to tell us the evils of rock music. And I hadn't heard, I knew all about the song, but I had never heard it because I had heard several different preachers talk about how this song and how like terrible it was and how evil it was and how degrading it was and how it just takes the beautiful act of love and makes it, you know, just, And I, you know, what you said, it was an elevator, right?
Yeah, that was, that's the rumor.
Trying
yeah.
to till the elevator
before the elevator doors open.
And somehow, how these preachers knew that, I have no idea, because it's, you know, exactly. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more. So I had this whole thing built up in my mind. And when I finally heard the song, I was like, that song kicks ass.
It sure does. It sure does.
So the album opens with, in the beginning, Shout at the Devil and Looks to Kill. Shout at the Devil, Looks to Kill, just like, geez, like, that's a double whammy right there. Like, that's a 1-2 punch. If they never did any other songs, it'd be great. But they go on to Bastard. Bastard is a very cool song, too. Really great hook, great chorus. God Bless the Children of the Beast is their sort of, that's kind of like an interlude.
I would say, like a break. Like,
yeah, it's like intermission, let's stop, you know, go to the bathroom or whatever, you know. And then Helter Skelter comes back, and then Red Hot, Too Young to Fall in Love, Knock 'Em Dead, 10 Seconds. And there's one more song, is there?
There
not?
Is one more song. It's the final song on the album called Danger. One of the more, I think it's, okay, so I think this is super underrated for a song. It's not super fast paced, it's not in your face, but it's still hard.
It's still hard.
It sums up their sort of wild, dangerous lifestyle after they all got together and formed their own little gang band. They were in the scene, they were doing what they wanted to do, living their dreams, and they finally got to what they wanted, and they're not looking back. It's pretty much the lyrics right there, so kind of a great ending to the album, I think. Super underrated, because I don't think anybody really loves the song.
When I went back and revisited the album, I had forgotten about, like, In the Beginning and God Bless the Children of the Beast.
Yeah.
But I pretty much remember the rest of them. I think that the record, for the most part, is pretty solid. Like, there are some killer tracks, and even the ones that aren't, like, killer are still, like, good rock and roll songs.
They stuck with the theme.
You know, just good, you know, ram it down your throat, shove up your ass, rock and roll. Beth Petronell. Did I say your name right this time? Thank you so much for hanging out in the inner circle. LouLombardiRocks.com is where you guys want to go to get some more information and hang out with us afterwards. So, and who's we got any rock ragers?
We've got
send some shout outs.
Jagged Line. They said, what's up, Lily? Chris Thunderwolf's on there watching. Bill Damiano's on there watching. And that's who I have on there. Who said anything? Because I can't see who's actually watching. Beth, I got the leggings at Victoria's Secret. And did you want to do the day in 1983 in history?
We're going to do that in a second. Breck Jimison, what's up? He says, what's up? And
what's
I say, what's up, Breck? What's up? Yo, yo, yo. Yo, 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 yo. Ludini say what's up. But anyway, so I like to put these records in time. So let's talk a little bit about 1983.
I was almost two the time the album came out.
I was getting my driver's license. So let's talk a little bit about this year, 1983. So if you put this in, cost of living in 1983. Average cost of a new house was $82,000. So we were getting up. We're starting to get up there a little bit. A gallon of gas was $1.25.
Oof.
A Dodge Ram 50. Well, a Ram 50? What's a 50?
I don't know
what that is.
Some truck.
That's crap. You remember the Volkswagen Rabbit? You're too young.
I remember it. No, they reissued it.
The Volkswagen Rabbit, $6,994. Ford Mustang was only $6,500.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
My gosh.
Men's leather shoes were $39.99. Now they're like $239.99.
Not if you go to, like, Gabe's.
Hurricane Alicia hits, killed 21 folks. United States invades Grenada. the NASA STS-7 mission. Strategic Defense Initiative by our boy Ronnie Reagan, former actor and governor of California. Fraggle Rock.
I love Fraggle Rock. I love Fraggle Rock.
The show was one of HBO's first original programs and was created and produced by Jim Henson, the Muppet Sesame Street guy.
I have it all on DVD.
Boy. Do you guys remember the ties with the squared off bottom, you know, cut off on the bottom? People were wearing those. Those were about $8. Christmas that year was on a Sunday. Halloween was on a Monday. Let's see what else happened. There's an earthquake. There's a little earthquake in New York. Weird, huh?
5.2.
I know. U.S. unemployment rises to 12 million, the highest figure since 1941. Sally Ride on June 18th becomes the first American woman in space on the Space Shuttle Challenger, and we all know how that turned out. Margaret Thatcher wins a landslide victory in general elections in the UK. Big upset, because people never thought that the Conservative Party would ever do anything ever again in England. And, you know these tides, right? They're always swinging, you know? Always going one direction, and we go over to the other direction. Popular films at that time... Return of the Jedi, yes! Oh, yeah, I love that movie. Tootsie.
I love that movie.
Trading Places, War Games, Superman 3, Flashdance.
Filmed in Pittsburgh.
Staying Alive, which was the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Yep.
National Lampoon's Vacation. Oh, that's, classic, right?
That's a great movie.
Never Say Never Again, Terms of Endearment, Hyantol. Educating Rita, which is a fun movie. Popular musicians, and it's sad, Motley Crue is not on this list. Phil Collins, The Police, Hot Chocolate.
I listen to that quite often.
Hot Chocolate is on there, but Motley Crue is not.
That's because Motley, the album came out in September. They didn't have a chance.
David Bowie. What did Johnny Cash have out in 1983?
How the hell should I know?
Culture Club, Duran Duran, Pink Floyd, Ozzy Osbourne, Lionel Richie, all night long. Michael Jackson had a big hits with Beat It and Billie Jean. The Moody Blues had a comeback with the songs. I don't remember what they were called at, but they had two hits in the early 80s. Bob Marley and the Wailers had a hit as well. Microsoft Word is first released. Really? That's crazy. You are too young to remember, but the Swatch Watch.
I'm not too
young. Really, like, that was a whole thing.
That was still a thing when I was old enough to know better.
Is anybody new? I can't remember. Okay, we had Margaret mentioned Margaret Thatcher. So, yeah, that was a kind of look back at 1983. So it's fun to put these albums in place, because nothing in art happens in a vacuum. It's all in response to culture and politics and economy and everything. Artists are just responding to what's going on. I'm not one of these people. I don't think very often that they create the culture. Sometimes they do. Anyway, I mean, did you wear just one white glove after Michael Jackson came out? No.
Probably not.
No.
I know some people who did.
A lot of girls dress like Madonna.
Of girls dress like Pat Benatar. A lot of girls dress like Blondie.
And Madonna, too. I remember going to the mall. And I think that might be, I don't know. I don't want to say if that was more of a, you know, female thing or not.
It probably was. Because that's that's a fashion thing. It's all about the fashion. And that's what those girls were wearing. And that's who they wanted to be. I get it.
Anyway, so that was the that's a little bit of a look back there in 1983. We're going to end with one more song here in a minute, but you have been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website, where the way to get us online is to go to lulombardirocks.com. There is ludinirockandrollcircus.com, of course. Ludinirocks.com, that is where you want to go to. You can get everything there. You find out all kinds of cool stuff that we have going on, free downloads and whatnot. Next week, we will have the trio back. Keith the Hawk will be back. He is celebrating his anniversary with his lovely wife, Samantha. And we are congratulations to them. We love them very much and wish them all the best. Thank you once again to Wolf's Customs, wolfscustoms.online. Go get that custom thing done on your guitar like now. Don't even play around with it. And Rock Rage Radio. Speaking of Rock Rage Radio, Lily?
I have a show on there on Thursdays, Hot Licks with Lily 6 at 6 p.m.
What's it called again?
Hot Licks with Lily 6. 6 p.m. Eastern. Just download the free app or go to rockrageradio.com.
All right, guys. You've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We had some great music as well tonight. In addition to talking about Motley Crue, we started the show with Sister Salvation, played a little Unbroken Soul, and this is a band called Blood Union. You can check them out at bloodunion.bandcamp.com. You guys have a great week. We are going to close out for today, but you can always join us at loulombardirocks.com, where we're going to continue the party for a little bit. We're going to talk about what we're going to be doing next week. So you want to check that out, guys. Thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.